On September 10th at noon at First Canadian Place, 100 King Street West, there will be a protest happening, organized by the Council of Canadians and the Latin American Solidarity Network, to tell Canadian-Australian mining company Oceana Gold to get out of El Salvador. To speak about the context of this protest is Jamie Neen of Mining Watch Canada. Thanks so much for joining me today, Jamie.
Well, thanks for having me.
So last year, Canadian-Australian company Oceana Gold acquired Vancouver-based Pacific Rim Mining, a company that has been trying to gain access to gold deposits in northern El Salvador for the better part of a decade. Since 2009, we've seen this situation escalate with a hefty lawsuit. I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit about when this conflict began and how Oceana Gold has been implicated since the acquisition of Pacific Rim.
Well, as you say, it began some time ago, and it began with Pacific Rim buying up mining properties in El Salvador and beginning to try and line up a proposal for a gold mine in the northern part of El Salvador. And that proposal never went anywhere. It was supported by some of the local politicians, but it was widely opposed by civil society organizations, local organizations, church groups, and so on in the area, but also across the country. And it actually sparked a national movement against mining, because it's in the watershed that provides 70% of El Salvador's water. And people sort of figured that introducing poisonous chemicals and potentially acid drainage and so on into their water supply was probably not a good idea, especially since El Salvador is a very small country with a very challenged water supply already. And as I say, it turned into a nationwide movement against gold mining, and El Salvador has declared a moratorium on gold mining. But even without that, the company never actually fulfilled the requirements that it would have had to in order to get its license. And it was Pacific Rim that first took the case to the World Bank Tribunal on Investment, the ICSID, as it's called, the International Center for International for Trade Disputes, Investment Dispute Resolutions. And Pacific Rim basically was pretty close to bankruptcy, you know, pursuing this bank, pursuing this lawsuit for years and really having no other projects and so on until last year when Oceana Gold stepped in and bought it out. And Oceana Gold has other mines operating. It's a bigger company. And so they're basically, I think, you know, betting on getting something out of the government of El Salvador in compensation.
So what kind of power does a World Bank Tribunal have to arbitrate in this case?
It has a lot of power, and that's the disturbing thing, is that whether it's under the free trade agreement where this case started or under the Salvadoran investment law where it ended up, this international tribunal can order the government of El Salvador to pay hundreds of millions of dollars to foreign investors in compensation for a project that never would have been approved anyway. And this is, you know, it actually has that power. There's no appeal. It doesn't require the company to go through even any national legal process in order to get there. It can go straight to the trade tribunal. And of course, El Salvador is not a wealthy country, and
right,
that money could be used for healthcare and education and infrastructure and things that people actually need.
Right, and this is something that, I mean, the El Salvador government, you mentioned there's been kind of a more popular growing movement resistant to this, which kind of begs the question, what right does this company have to be in there? But also, how would El Salvador actually respond to such a lawsuit? As a small country, this is a ton of money. Is this lawsuit meant to kind of strong-arm them into either acquiescing or kind of bleeding them of resources?
Well, yeah, it's hard to avoid the conclusion that the company's intention is either to get hundreds of millions of dollars out of El Salvador in compensation, or push them and intimidate them and cost them so much money that they'll turn around and give them the permit to go ahead and mine anyway. You know, and they've sort of said, well, we'd be happy with that outcome. And, you know, again, the problem is that they still haven't fulfilled the basic requirements for the land ownership and the environmental assessment that they would have to have before they even built the mine.
Right, and Mining Watch Canada did release a report back in March debunking 8 falsehoods that have been propagated by Pacific Rim and Oceanigold with respects to this situation. I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit to those myths. I know you mentioned not meeting regulatory requirements necessary to obtain a mining permit, but as well as the lack of adequate studies to measure the impact of mining, especially on water supplies in the region. How have these practices kind of conflicted with the mandate and values that Mining Watch Canada upholds?
Well, I mean, what we're trying to promote is the idea that mining should only take place with the consent of the affected communities and with, you know, fully informed consent at that, so that people actually know and understand the implications of the mining proposals, and you know, and they're able to set the conditions that the projects go ahead under. And you know, clearly, people in El Salvador, a lot of people in El Salvador, have informed themselves and decided against this. You know, and so our role is essentially to support that democratic, informed, and I think, you know, scientifically validated decision-making.
And the protest that I mentioned at the beginning of the interview will be happening tomorrow at First Canadian Place. On the Facebook page for the protest, they mentioned that Oceanigold is known for their human rights violations in the Philippines. Is this something that's well documented? How does this kind of relate to the situation that's now happening in El Salvador?
Well, the situation in El Salvador has been very tense. It's calmed down around the mining activities since Pacific Rim sort of dialed down their activities, and since Oceanigold bought them out, because they haven't actually been trying to do anything on the ground. But for many years, it was very tense. There was a lot of intimidation. A number of people were murdered in relation to the mine, and the threats and murders were clearly linked to the mining company, although the company has always denied any direct involvement, and there's no evidence of direct involvement, but there's clear evidence that, you know, people would say that the people making the threats were clearly threatening mining activists.
Right. What I'm wondering is this an anomaly? Foreign mining companies going into countries that may be impoverished in some way and having these human rights violations. Is this an anomaly, or is this something that we've seen many times in the past?
Unfortunately, it's very common, and I think that's the reference to the Philippines, is that, you know, in Didipio, where Oceanigold is operating, there's been a long struggle with the community there and similar sorts of intimidation and threats around that. And it's very common, and unfortunately, that mining companies, and especially Canadian mining companies, are involved in parts of the world where governance and human rights protection are weak, and they are either on purpose or simply by being involved there, they are taking advantage of that situation.
So what can we do as Canadians? I mean, these are Canadian companies that we're speaking about that are going into these countries. What can we do to protest against some of the actions of these companies?
Well, if you're in Toronto and you're free at lunchtime tomorrow, you can go to First Canadian Place and protest there in support of the protest that will be happening in Washington and what people are doing in El Salvador. But, you know, on a more day-to-day level, there are campaigns going on. A group called the Canadian Network on Corporate Accountability, which we're part of, is pushing to provide a legal mechanism for people to sue Canadian companies here for damages wherever they have taken place around the world. And that would be sort of a civil suit for damages. It's not not criminal liability. And we're also looking at trying to get an ombudsman that would actually be able to do something. So, you know, someone who could actually investigate complaints and make recommendations directly to the government and to the companies. But that doesn't actually, you know, go to bringing control. It's just sort of addressing things that have already happened. And part of the problem is that a lot of investment, and, you know, including the Canada Pension Plan, including RRSPs and mutual funds and pension funds that all kinds of people have, are tied up in this industry, and there's no criteria, and there's no clear reporting even on, you know, where the companies are involved in these situations. So companies don't have to tell the shareholders, they don't have to tell the fund managers, and the fund managers don't have to tell us what our money is doing. And as I say, that includes the Canada Pension Plan. So, you know, even if you don't have a job, you're still involved in that.
Right, right.
If you have a social insurance number, you're part of the system. And we really need to figure out how to break that down so that the pension funds are not dependent on the kind of speculative returns that the mining industry can provide because of this kind of abuse, and we're not actually helping support it.
James, we're running out of time here. I know this case will be heard on September 15th at the International Center for the Settlement of Investment Disputes in Washington, D.C. What do you expect will emerge from those proceedings?
Well, I think the company's case is very weak. I've read some of the legal documents, and the government of El Salvador is defending itself, and it's spending a lot of money that it could probably use for better purposes, even just in its legal defense. But so I think ultimately the case will fail, and I think that the message that the demonstrators are trying to send, and we've been working with many of these groups for a number of years, is to the company to say, look, just, back off. You've made enough of a mess already.
Right.
You're not going to get anything good out of this. And the people of El Salvador and the, the communities and the organizations are pretty united in this. And the best thing to do is to walk away.
I want to thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on our program today, Jamie. If people want to find out more about Mining Watch or the work you do, where can they go to do that?
They can go to miningwatch.ca on the web. They can find us on Twitter and Facebook. There's all kinds of, and if they don't see what they want there, we can certainly help point them to other resources.
Thank you so much, Jamie.
All right. Thanks very much.